Blog Talk Radio.
Praises be unto the Lord our God who made heaven and earth, and this is our miracle restorating broadcast. Heard here on the Blog Talk Radio Network on this glorious and victorious Sunday. It is January 16, 2022. And to get us into the broadcast, we're calling on the clock sisters from a blast in the past, saying, I expect a miracle. Are you expecting a miracle today? A miracle of healing in your body, in your mind, in your relationships, in your household, in your finances? Are you looking for that divine touch from God? Well, look up to heaven and give praise unto God at this time as we're going forth in this song, I expect a miracle. The sky knows no limit. Oh, yeah. And you can feel the intangible. Just give praise unto God, because the miracle bed of motivation is spent this afternoon, this morning, this evening, no matter where you are, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty there. On the promises of God, because God will make a way out of no way. And let me tell you something. When God's hand intervenes on your behalf, there is nothing that the enemy can do to stop you, to remove your progress, and no weapon formed against you can prosper. Because what God calls blessed, no man can call cursed. Let people look at you and hope the worst. Let them stare at you and say, what's wrong with her? What's wrong with him? Let them say you'll never amount to anything. Let them say that you'll never become what you desire. Because God watches over his word, and when he plants the word within you, he watches over that word to perform. So I'm wired up and I'm fired up today, because let me tell you something. As I've been ministering to various individuals and to the very levels of echelon of society, and which I would not disclose any names, the anointing of God is what breaks the yoke. And the scripture tells us that God's power cannot be challenged, that God's anointing cannot be hindered, because it is his anointing, not yours. If yours comes from him, then therefore it can't be broken. But it is the anointing of God. Do you hear me this afternoon, this morning, this evening, tonight? Wherever you are, it doesn't matter. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty there. And the reason why so many times over and over again, we don't see the miracles of God. We don't experience the miracles of God. You know why? Because we've become too carnal. We're looking at the way of human reasoning. We've become so sophisticated in the worldly exchange system that we have forgotten who stands large and who is in charge. It's God. It's not man. And when you take your eyes off man, then you can see God's hand moving. And you're talking about moving in a miraculous way, in a dunamis way, in a dynamic way. Oh, you will experience the supernatural on this earthly terrain. And this is what God wants to do. He wants to validate his presence, his power, and his anointing. He wants to do this. But are we ready to receive his greatness? I'm ready, Lord. I don't know about you. I can't speak for you, but I can tell you something. The hand of God is moving great and mighty. I have received so many breakthroughs in everything. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you this here now. When God tells you something, don't question it. Don't dispute it. Accept it. Because, see, he sees what we cannot see. He knows what we will never know. And when he speaks to our spirit, and the Lord revealed this to me, listen, listen. Get out of yourself and get into the realm of God. When he speaks, listen. When the Holy Spirit ministers, this is the voice of God. Listen, because he's attempting to tell you something. And when he tells you, can be a personal revelation. This is what God revealed to me. Some revelations are personal. Some revelations are external, which means it's for other people. Not all revelations given to you are for you. Sometimes it's for other people. And when God reveals his word to you through revelation, even about upcoming events that you don't see and don't know, accept it. And when it comes to pass, acknowledge it. We've got so many Christians, and I'm going to speak this word before we get into the scriptural reading, and here it is, that are undercover Christians. They're Christians behind closed doors and in certain settings. But when it comes to being out in the world, they're afraid to acknowledge God. They're afraid to speak God's word, to acknowledge God's presence? No. Jesus said, if you will be ashamed of me, and listen to me, you listen. I'm speaking with the voice of reasoning and experience. He said, you be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. But if you're being bold and confrontational and courageous about God and what he does, I don't care where you are, what you're doing, he's going to show up and show out for you. And I learned that. Oh, I'm going to keep on praising his name. I'm going to keep acknowledging, because I know he worked a miracle in my life, several miracles that he worked in my life. And he's spoken words of knowledge to me. But I'm telling you something. It came to pass so fast, I didn't know it was coming that fast. But the Holy Spirit told me that something was coming down the pike, and it would change the setting of everything. And truly it did. God dealt with the prince of counties, the rulers of this land, to rule in divine favor of his people. See, God is a God of the universe. Stop putting limits. What is the problem? We put limits on God, but we unlimit mankind's ability. You got that backwards, my brother. You got that backwards, my sister. And this is just homegrown, down-to-earth talk. Get it right. Reverse the polarity. No limits on God and limits on man. Because man deals with God deals with the principalities, the rulers of this land. He tells them what to do. And he can break them down and set things in order where it's fall in line. And didn't he do it this week? And he's going to continue to do it. And you know something else? God is doing other things on the more direct framework of personal revelation and miracles. Some of you have been praying for so long, diligently praying. That breakthrough just seems like it's not coming through. Listen, you had to wait it out. There were some things, and here's a divine revelation for you. I know it relevates to me too, but here it is. God had to change and rearrange some things, because if we would have received that breakthrough at that period of time, we would have went another direction, and we would not have been pleasing to God. And when you know and you're not pleasing to God, it spells catastrophe. So God had to slow us down, isolate us, put us in the corner for a while so that he can deal with us, so that we understand with wealth, with riches, there is responsibility. This is a very unusual word. And God had to show and teach you responsibility. He had to show you some people. He had to show you some circumstances before he gives you the breakthrough. But it's coming. It's coming this week. And I want to hear those testimonies. Why are you all so shy? I've got a inbox right here on the Blog Talk Radio Network. You inbox me your miracles, your praise reports. Come on. As much as you praise God for what he's done, is the more God is going to do. I've even disclosed to you my personal email address for you to share with me. Come on, share those testimonies. Share those testimonies. Please, we need to catch this on just like a contagion, a wildfire, so it can go from one person to another. But that's the way miracles work. It goes to one person, then it relevates to another. Come on, guys, we got to get that circumference going, that Shekinah glory implemented here in the midst. That's right. That's right. We've got to get it going. And I told you what was put in my spirit last week, and I want to hear from you about the brokenhearted, the dismembered, the disfellowship, those of you who have had criticality when you attempted to go into the congregations to be a part of that establishment, and you got broken down, you got walked down, you got talked down, you got abused, misused, mistreated, and depleted. It's time for you to come back to the fold. And the Exodus Project, this is what we're working on. The Exodus Project is where we are starting. And I can't wait to get some of you all on board. And we're going to share our stories and our testimonies. And some of our stories and testimonies are going to be the miraculous intervention that others need so well. So we got a lot of exciting things coming up in the weeks and in the months to come. And just let's be together. We must unite. Stop being afraid of each other. Because this is what God wants. He knew who to direct you to, and he knew who to direct you through. And so that's the reason why you tuned in. I'm not looking for a popularity, but let me tell you something. I've been all over this country as an educational presenter. I have presented to audiences of the uppermost echelon of society and of the educational system. Let me tell you something. Even to the magistrates of this land, let me tell you something. I'm not looking for personal recognition. I don't need it, don't want it. Because if I get glorified, then God won't be glorified the way he should be. My whole methodology of operative is to educate, is to empower, and to equip believers with the tool that they need to be victorious in their lives so that they will be the fishers of men, to break strongholds, to bring about deliverance, to promote true God-focused, God-centered, and God-based worship, and to get out of this garbage in the world, and to get the garbage out of the congregation. That's my assignment. Nothing's going to come between my assignment, because if anybody tries to hinder me or stop me, God is going to remove them. I'm going to tell you something. You can't touch what God has anointed and appointed, because God has his angels round about it. So I don't speak out of being over the top on haughty, because God don't like haughtiness. Let's just make it real. I speak out of humility, but I speak out of confidence in him. My confidence in myself is very limited, but all my confidence is in him. And I'm going to just read a word to you. Here's an unusual word. There's Nebuchadnezzar around us. Oh, let me tell you something. Mm-mm. God said, all their high places I bring down. And here it is. That Nebuchadnezzar that stood in the way, dictator, over the top, confrontational, bodacious, contrary spirit, because it translates into a spirit that gets on people. You have to call out those things unto God and tell him to do the work. Don't you try to do it on your own. God will break them down. And here it is, Daniel, the third chapter. Go with me. Here is the reading. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 70 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Durant in the province of Babylon. This world has become Babylon because it's sinful, promoting behaviors that are totally not wholesome, unrighteousness. You know, all of these strange agendas, these strange truths being born forth in our society. You know God is not pleased with that mess. This place has become Babylon, a fallen empire. And there's a few of us who are standing up, holding up that blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ, who are being true to the call. We're not trying to fit into the world, because the world has no place with God. The world is enmity. It's an opposing force with God. You know what God does with opposing forces? I think you need to call up the witness of Pharaoh and ask him what God did with them. So we don't even need that. So here it is. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent together princes, the governors and the captains, the judges, the very treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. I mean, he called the big shots of society together to come worship and acknowledge what he had done. Then the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried, that means an announcer, like an MC, cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, O nations and languages, that means bow down to me, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And whoso falleth not down, that means if you don't bow down and worship, shall the same be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Uh-oh. Seventh verse. Daniel, third chapter, seventh verse. Get your Bible, Old Testament. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and amid all kinds of music, all the people of the nations and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Eighth verse. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. Okay? That means that certain Middle Easterners came forth and point-to-point fingers at the Jews saying, there's some that are not bowing down to your command. And here they are. People put you on a target list when you don't fit the agenda of this thinking, foul society. And they call you a rebel. They call you a socialist. That you're anti. You're non-sociable. That's a lie. You're a chosen vessel. Be proud to be a chosen vessel. Ninth verse. Then second said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. I mean, they were bowing down, kissing tail to this natural-born man. That God has spoke one word, and he was a flatline. Don't they recognize God has shown himself alive in the church, and he's on our side. We've already won this battle, locally and nationally. We've already won this, O children of God. Take the stand. Tenth verse. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. I mean, when they hear the music, you got to dance to the music because you've got to pay the piper. Okay? Are you listening? Are you taking heed? Are you getting this? 11th verse. And whoso falleth not down, that means who don't bow down. Oh, you're a moving target. When you don't bow down, we know who she is. She's not going for this. We know who he is. He's not going for this. That's right. You can't put mess in a child of God because our temple is clean. And the only thing that dwells within us is the power of the Holy Spirit. That means that no filthy, foul, unclean thing can come up in this temple because the blood of Jesus seals every door, every window, every crack and every crevice that are present and prevalent in this temple. I'm fired up today because the power of the Holy Spirit is moving. These miracles, God is doing it. He's doing it. Reach out and touch it. Here it is. And whosoever falleth not down and worship that, he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And figuratively, people are not going to take you and put you in a fiery furnace. What they do, they turn their back on you. They whisper behind your back, talk about your back, stab you, and go finagle in with the enemy. Well, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. But God said in his word, touch not my anointed. Don't bother us. Please don't bother us. You like living. You like being well. You like prosper. Don't bother God's people. He said, do my prophet no harm. I mean, prophetess too. Don't try to go behind us and do things to try to offset us. Because God gets angry when you mess with his little children. Those who depend on him. Those who love him. Those who lay on his bosom and cry about the sins of this world. Those who constantly pray for others and are dear to God. Don't mess with him. Because you're standing on shaky ground. And God will allow that earthquake to come and swallow you up. And everything associated with you. Word of warning. God's wrath is kindled against they who stand against his people. Here it is. There are certain Jews, I mean certain individuals, certain chosen vessels, thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. That is a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. That means they're not bowing down. When you tell them to bow down to your image, they're not buying it. That means we are not compromising to the standards of the world. We're not compromising to your mandate. We're not compromising to your lies. We're not compromising to your ungodliness. Because God hates abomination. God despises those who work it. And those who not only who sin, but have no conscientiousness of their sin. To those who proclaim themselves to be righteous. There's only but one righteous, and that's Jesus Christ. And the only way we, as believers, become righteous is when we take on the name of Jesus Christ. And therefore, he becomes our righteousness. He says, and these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods. That means those idols, those people. They don't look up to certain individuals. They don't appease to the standards of the world. They don't bow down and want to become part. They're not looking for popularity. They're looking to obey God. Look out. nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage, I mean, he got a sense in. Who are these people? Who do they think they are? I'm the boss. Oh, you're lying. God speak one word, you flat by. He said, and raised the pure commanding and bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Oh, look out, look out. God's going to show up and show up, y'all. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my God, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? He's saying, is it true that you're not bowing down to my system, doing what I told you to do? You're not adhering to my command? Uh-oh, look out. It's the brother getting ready to speak. He said, is it not true? Now, if ye ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kind of music, ye fall down. He's telling you, bow down. When you hear this music play, you play the piper. Fall down. Bow down. And may well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast in the same hour into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? You better look out, man. You better shut up while you're ahead. Look out. 16th verse. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king. Well, you got to speak up to folks. In the Holy Spirit, when you're praying, you got to call them out before God. And then God will do the rest. He's showing you trust him and his almighty power. He said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. That means that we're not going to be afraid to respond to you. 17th verse. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. They're saying, okay, the God that we serve and we know created this heaven and this earth, he will deliver us from you. He will keep us. He will protect us from all methods of evil. 18th verse. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. He said, even if God don't choose to bring us out, we're not bowing down. You've got to have a standard. Come back. Come back, believers. Where are your standards? The filth that is going on in these congregations, the behaviors are being accepted and adhered to. We got to come back. We cannot sell out, neither can we be bought out. You can only sell out what that what you bought. So many have been bought. They've been bought. What they speak, purchased. Their mannerism, purchased. Their quality, purchased. God does not want a sold out or a bought out people. He wants a peculiar people. I'm peculiar, and I praise God for being peculiar. That way I know I'm walking the path of righteousness. I'm part of that royal priesthood. Are you part of that royal priesthood? You better come back to the fold. That we should show forth the praises of him that brought us out of darkness into the marvelous light. And here it is. He commanded that Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed. I mean, he got mad. You challenging me? Oh, that's my pride, my position, my power. Y'all gonna get it. His whole visage, I mean, his whole countenance, his attitude was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, he spoke and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1-7 times more than it was to be heated. Uh-oh. I mean, cut it up as high as you can get it. Show them something. You want to bow down to me? I'm going to fix you all. Okay? That's what you think. Here it is. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning, fiery furnace. He said, tie them up, throw them in the furnace. That's it. How dare you challenge me? I'm going to show the people who I am and what I can do. Oh, you just didn't know who you were dealing with. Mm-mm. the 21st verse. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, that means everything that they wore, and their hats and their own garments, and they were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Can you imagine that, seeing these men, these wholesome, young, vivacious, vibrant, intelligent, bold, courageous, God-fearing men being casted into the furnace? He did this publicly. Why? He wanted to instill fear into the people. See, fear has a torment. And see, little did they know who they were dealing with. But here it is, 22nd verse. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Wow, listen to this. Now, wouldn't you know, in common applicability of human reasoning, that something's really wrong here? Now, the three men that you're going to put in the furnace, the flames that were heated seven times greater than previously. How many of you ever have been in a furnace, and your furnace went out, and you lit the furnace, and that flame goes boosh, and you can feel the heat just make your skin cringe? Seven times greater than that. And you know the size of that furnace was much, much larger, because it was large enough to actually put people in. And the flame skipped the three Hebrew boys, but it consumed those men who had opened the furnace to put them in. Uh-oh, look out, look out, look out. And the three men, look at this, come on. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Huh. 24th verse, then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his council, that means that his magistrates, those who implemented his orders, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? And saying, didn't we put three men inside that furnace? Now, here was strange enough that the flames jumped out and burnt the men who were going to put them in there, but skipped the men. But we put three men in that furnace. What's going on here? And bound in the midst of the fire. They answered and said unto the king, true, O king, 25th verse. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose. Jesus unloosed the chains, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. That means I see four men walking in that fire, and they're not screaming, they're not yelling, they're not burning, they're not injured, they're not hurt. What's going on here? And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Woo, can you imagine the enemy, the opposition saying, I see the Son of God. See, God will take the heat out the fire. He will put you on top while your enemies, your oppressors, are at the very bottom. All their high places he will bring down. Then Nebuchadnezzar, 26 verse, came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth in the midst of the fire. Oh, see that? The very enemy, the oppressor, had to say, come forth. You are chosen vessels of God. This God that you serve and that you believe in, it's stronger than any force on this earth. You come forth because his hand is upon you. I'm thinking now. I better do the right thing. He said, what? Come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth in the midst of the fire. And the princes, the governors, the captains, the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Didn't Jesus tell us, all power given in heaven and earth is in his hands? So what are we talking about? Nor was the hair on their heads singed. That means not even their hair was burned. And you know what? Nor the smell of fire have passed on them. God will make you immune to whatever is in your environment. But he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That's right. He said, therefore shall no evil befall thee, nor any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Look out. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and that have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. See, the enemy, the devil himself, will have to bow down when you serve God and you walk in the power of the anointing. When you have cleansed yourself of the filth of the church world, the world that became church and the church that became world, and you're walking in the power of his anointing. His anointing overshadows you with supernatural ability. You're talking about supernatural things that could not be explained. Therefore, 29 verse, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language will speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, till he be cut to pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, though there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Even the enemy of God's people had to bow down and say, anybody that speaks against God, against the very essence of the God of Shadrach, of these men, the true God, he shall be cut down. He will be executed. And see, this goes back to the scripture that says, as God be for you, he won the world against you. He said, what? Hold thy people, I make thy enemy thy footstool. Nebuchadnezzar became their footstool. He became their footstool. 30th verse, then the king promised Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. He promoted them. See, I'm telling you something. Sometimes you get tried so you can stand the test, get the testimony, be blessed, and be promoted to the next level. And this is what God did. Because these men were diligent. They took a stand. They weren't afraid. They were not going to compromise with evil doing. And we have to take pleasure in the greatness of God's presence. Because let me tell you something. God's miracle moving power is on blast right now. And this is a beautiful story, a testimony, a proof that God works by the power of his spirit. Isn't that beautiful? This is something you can take with you through the weekend. You can read Daniel, the third chapter, for yourself and feast from it. Look at what God did out of a terrible situation, what could have been a terrible situation. Oh, my God in heaven. Oh, we thank you, Father God, for the power of your word, for the blessedness of your anointing. But, Father God, we know it's the anointing of God that breaketh the yoke, that destroys the handiwork of the enemy. It is you, Father God, that implements the miracle. It is you that breaks the stronghold. You break the fetters and destroy every arsenal of the enemy. Father God, we thank you right now for your deliverance, for your healing, for your prosperity, for your presence, for your loving kindness, for your tender mercy. God, we just thank you. We praise you. We glorify you, Lord. And we know that you have forgiven us for even forgetting the greatness of your power, Lord. We can't forget that. If we've committed any offense, Father God, how be it great or small, forgive us. And let the blood of Jesus cover us, Father God. Give us the holy boldness, the strength to stand up and stand out and to expect, not only expect, but to receive a miracle, a blessing from you every day, so that others may see that our God, the true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the very God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is alive and well and moving by his spirit. Thank you, Father God, for the holy teacher, the holy comforter, the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us into all manner of truth. We just praise you, God. We know that good things have happened but much greater things are on the way. And for that, Father God, we thank you. We love you. We glorify you. We magnify your blessed name. We thank you for moving every negative force, every hindering spirit, every negative ion, every particle that is not according to your word, that is not according to excellent health, that is not according to wholesomeness, out of the bodies of every believer and would-be believer, of their family, health, wellness, excellent health, be made manifest in us in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Master of each and everything. We thank you, Father God. We praise you. We magnify you. Oh, we love you, God. We speak your name. We praise your name. And listen, audience, we're going to go into the 15th chapter of the book of Exodus next week, talking about the very essence of miracles. Listen to this. I just want you to absorb this scripture. Exodus 15 and 1. Then sang Moses and unto the Lord of Israel this song, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he drowned and thrown in the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and what host, as he cast into the sea, his chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank in the bottom of a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, have dashed in pieces the enemy. And God is not changed. Please stop trying to change God and get more modernized. That's the projection of the world. God is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He's working miracles then. He worked them then. He's working them now. And listen, receive the greatness in which he has for us in this present day and present time. Because he's doing it. He's doing it, and we thank him for it. We bless his holy name. We bless you. And other man, where you are, because wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty there. Oh, just praise the holy name of God, and we'll see you on next Sunday. And know that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we are able to ask and even think. And your miracle is on the way. You got your host with the most from coast to coast, the Esquire, the A-Phelps, known as Motor City Mile Riley, your biblical teacher and your expositor, saying, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, the manner of restoration, here on the Blog Talk Network. And we'll see you again next week. Oh, yeah.